Welcome guests and visitors, family. Thanks for being with us. And in just a minute, we're going to hear from the teens, at least the first segment of their program. And next week, we'll hear a little bit more. Our ushers are coming. That reminds me, do we have any first-time visitors tonight? Any first-time visitors? Could you raise your hand if you're a very first-time visitor with us? All right. Thank you. Appreciate you being here with us. And not sure if there's anybody else, but if you would, just keep that packet of information from our church. And then if you wouldn't mind, there's a little card inside, and you can fill that out and then drop it in the offering plate in a little while. And we're so thankful to have each and every one of you, visitor, member, attendee, here tonight with us. Let me just give you a few announcements. Of course, we're in down to the Christmas season, and we're having Christmas programs. The first part of our teen program is tonight. Misty came to me a little while ago, and she says, my program's too long. I need more than one Sunday. So that's why we're having the first part tonight. And then next Sunday morning now will be, the whole service will be given to a teen program, all right? The gospel will be clearly presented, so please bring friends, family with you, loved ones. And in the evening, the next Sunday night, will be our children's program, all right? So we're looking forward to both these things. People have been practicing a long time for them. Parents, don't forget, there is practice this week, Wednesday night for the children at 5:30. We'll start off with a pizza meal over there for them, and then they'll practice up to 7 till the time of clubs and church service. And then teens, you'll be practicing. Children also be practicing Saturday morning at 9. That's their dress rehearsal. So Wednesday at 5:30, Saturday morning at 9. And then teens, you'll be practicing at 2 o'clock on Saturday. All right. And then also don't forget, sign up for the ladies' Christmas banquet. That's Tuesday the 13th. And that will meet at the bistro at 6:15 p.m. Nicole Wagner will be the speaker. And please sign up by today if you can, please. And then teens, you have your Christmas party next Saturday. And you can see Richie Marsha about information about that. A couple other announcements not in your bulletin. We have two deacon nominees, Ed Helsel and Jeff Heilman, and the vote will there be on December 18th. If you have any questions about that, you can see Richie or myself, any of the board members. Some people have been asking about directories. Do we have any more? We ran out. And we did order 50 more, okay? We are asking that when they come in that you please just take one per family. Now just be a help. Try to get those just spread out as much as we can. There will be choir practice tonight as well, even though we are having this. So choir members, please be here with us after the service. Also, be in prayer for two people. Annabelle White, you may have noticed she wasn't here this morning. She is in the hospital, and she actually had a stroke Saturday morning. It wasn't severe. That I can tell, but she is still undergoing tests. So please remember Annabelle White in prayer. She is at Altoona Hospital right now. And also Denny Walters, some of you know him. He is also in the hospital on dialysis and not real good shape. And so be praying for him as well. All right, I think that's all the announcements I have, so I'll turn it over to you.
Hello, everyone. We want to welcome all of you and thank you for coming to the first part of our Teen Christmas program. We had so many volunteers that we are doing the program across two Sundays. So hopefully you will all join us and invite friends for next Sunday morning's performances of Christmas Kitchen and The Sacrifice. I would like to open with a poem written by Margaret Primrose. We buy our gifts for Grandma, for our teachers, friends, and cousins. We want to think of all our wants and list them by the dozens. But Jesus, this is your birthday, and the reason we celebrate. So I want to give you my best, not treat you as second rate. I know that I cannot see you, but I know your word is true. Whatever we do for others is also a gift for you. So help me to love the child with too much dirt on his face, or go to the end of the line when I like to be in first place. For giving and doing my best is the gift I want to bring to honor a wonderful friend, Jesus, my Savior and King. Is about a young girl played by Annalise Johnston, who is only looking at Christmas as a time for fun. She is selfish and comes to realize that Christmas is about so much more than just her. I hope you all enjoy our presentation of I've Got Time.
no more school for 2 weeks. I can't wait for all the fun, sled riding, video games, and most of all, the load of gifts under that Christmas tree with my name on it. Annalise Johnston. That's right, it's going to be all over those gifts.
Don't put the bags on the script.
Hi, Annalise. We're just working on the Christmas carol.
Why are you doing that?
We have to practice if we're going to sound good for tomorrow.
What's going on tomorrow?
The youth pastor's coming.
Don't tell me you forgot. You were supposed to do something for tonight.
Everyone has been working hard for weeks. I hope you're ready.
Oh, I'll be ready, but I'm not wasting my Christmas singing carols.
You want to hear the song Mark and I've been working on?
Sure. This ought to be good.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
That's not even a Christmas song.
No, but we like it.
A very special song to us.
We thought it'd be a perfect song to sing after the youth pastor's message.
We want everyone to follow Jesus and get saved.
Everyone will be singing Christmas carols, but their song will be very special.
Because it comes from the heart.
Whatever, I'm going to find someone who wants to go sledding. Hey, anybody want to go sledding?
No, but thanks for asking. We're wrapping gifts for the children at the orphanage.
Did you bring anything to wrap?
No.
Annalise, don't wait till the last minute.
Oh, I'll do something.
You better be prepared or you won't be able to get one past the leg kits here.
We've all worked so hard. I can't wait. This is going to be a very special Christmas.
I've been saving for a while. I babysat and helped my older lady with her cleaning to help raise money.
Whatever. You guys have fun with that. I'm not spending my money. Other people can do that. I'll find something else to do. I thought Christmas break would be more fun, but instead, everybody's so busy getting ready for the pastor that nobody has time to play. We're kids. Our parents should be doing this kind of stuff, not us. What's going on here? It smells so good.
We just finished baking the cookies, and now we're packing them.
What kind did you bake?
We've got peanut butter, chocolate chip, oatmeal, and sugar cookies.
Now we have to get them all in packages so they're ready when Pastor Blake gets here.
Ooh, my favorite.
They're not for you. We're making these for the people in the nursing home.
Do you want to help?
I can show you how to package them.
No, thanks. I don't like baking. I prefer eating.
Well, you better start doing something or you won't be ready for Pastor Blake. You know, if you haven't done anything, you don't get to go.
Don't tell them.
Thanks, I won't.
I hope you decide to work on something soon. I wouldn't want you to miss out tonight.
Yeah, it will be so rewarding to give everyone a little something for Christmas.
I know, and I have tracks to attach to each box because the greatest present we can give will always be Jesus.
Wouldn't it be so great if someone got saved tonight?
Incredible.
Whatever. I'm going to find someone who wants to play some video games or something. What's going on here?
We're working on memorizing some scripture. We want to be able to quote the whole Romans Road.
We each memorize the favorite verse, too.
Here's an eye quoting John 3:16. Everyone what it means.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life.
That was really good.
Do you want to learn verses with us?
There's still time.
No, thanks. I just wanted to know if anybody wanted to play some video games or something.
Maybe tomorrow. This is more important.
Whatever.
Aren't you doing anything?
No, maybe, but I'm not sure I want to.
Not want to? What's the matter with you?
Nothing. You guys are just taking the joy out of Christmas.
This is the joy of Christmas. Making sure other people have a great holiday is what makes things special.
People are more open this time of year, and we don't want to miss an opportunity to share Jesus with them, especially on his birthday.
Besides, we have so much we need to share with others. We're going to the nursing home, the orphanage, and to visit shut-ins. These people need to know that others care about them.
They need to see Jesus' love through others.
Whatever. I've got plenty of time. I'm going home to watch TV.
You don't have much time. You better figure out what you want to do before Pastor Blake gets here.
I've been waiting for this night for a long time. I can't wait.
Whatever.
Cookies for the shut-in.
Great, everybody loves cookies.
The whole room is red.
Each of us memorized our favorite verse, too. Tyler and I are going to say John 3:16 and tell what it means.
Can't wait to hear it.
Amy and I have decided to sing a song.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
We learned a lot of Christmas songs.
We're planning to sing a lot of carols at the nursing home and to the shut-ins.
I look forward to hearing them.
We worked very hard to buy presents for all the kids.
I can't wait to see the smiles on all the kids' faces.
I'm sure the kids will love them. Aren't you coming?
I didn't do anything.
Why not?
I thought I had more time.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Annalise. You only thought of yourself instead of others. I have to go with those prepared. See ya.
Hi, everyone. How did it go?
It was great.
I'm so sorry you didn't get to go.
Me too.
Pastor Blake took us out for ice cream.
I had chocolate chip cookie dough.
And we got candy, too.
I love candy.
I wish you could have seen the look on their faces. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Everyone was so happy to see us.
Our ride's here. See you guys.
Me too. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I'm so sorry, Pastor Blake. I didn't get to come. I didn't get all the candy and fun. Everybody tried to warn me, but I didn't listen.
Annalise, that's not what was important about tonight. It was about sharing the joy of Jesus this Christmas season. It's about being prepared. You weren't prepared for me to come. Imagine if Jesus were the one to return tonight. Would you have been proud of what you'd done for him?
No, I wouldn't not. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. I just don't know how.
By faithfully reading and obeying his word, you need to be telling others about his love for them. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." You've told me that you asked Jesus into your heart, but that's not where our responsibility ends. We need to tell others. We need to do things for Jesus. He gave his life for us. I know it wouldn't have hurt you to sacrifice something for him.
No, it would not have. I'm sorry. I'm going to start doing the things the right way. I'm going to tell other people about Jesus and put them first, so that I will be ready when Jesus comes back.
That's good, Annalise. You were disappointed when I came tonight. It would be much worse if the Lord came and you'd done nothing for him on your time on earth.
I won't have to worry about that because I'm going to be prepared. Pastor Blake, do you know when Jesus is coming back?
No, I don't. No man on earth knows the day or the hour. The Bible tells us that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Annalise?
Yes, Pastor Blake?
Listen for the sound of the trumpet.
I will, sir.
At this time, a group that is going to sing here with us.
It's
Jesus the Christ, born in Bethlehem. A baby born to save the souls of men. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heaven's love reaching down to save the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Son of God, servant King, here with us. You're here with us.
Christmas is a time when people can get overwhelmed with shopping, decorating, baking, and many more things. However, the reason for this day is Jesus' birthday. This play was performed with young people that have already given their lives to Jesus and wanted to do something special for his birthday. I wonder how many of you are planning to do something for others this holiday season? If you have never asked Jesus into your heart, if you don't remember a time when you admitted that you were a sinner and asked for salvation from the only person who can give it to you, that's where you need to start this holiday. If you are saved and yet you barely make it to a service, don't help others, and really only look out for yourself, then it's time to make a change. Start today. If you need help, Pastor Gross will be happy to talk with you and get you started. At this time, I'm going to turn the service back to the pastor. Thank you for joining us for I've Got Time.
All right, thank you, teens. Why don't we give them a round of applause? Good job. Thank you. All right, Blake looks like a natural up there, doesn't he? You could speak, Blake, if you want. Good. And I'm glad Annalise learned her lesson. I'm glad. All right. Okay, I am going to speak, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers 22. And my message tonight really is going to go right along with what they're talking about. I've got time. And we've been looking at a man in the Bible that seemed to have maybe his priorities a little mixed up. He kind of got a little mixed up with what he was doing and why he was doing it. And that is the story of Balaam. And let me just speak to you a few minutes here, and you could take the kids, if they need to go back to nursery or something, that's fine. I won't be too long. But I'd like to take a look at this man just tonight, just a little bit, continuing really where we were last week, and take a look at this man Balaam and what he was doing and how mistaken he was. But before we do that, shall we bow in prayer? We do that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these young people. Thank you, God, for their desire to do this and the willingness to do it. Lord, we thank you for the practice they put in. Thank you, Lord, for Misty organizing it and presenting the gospel message. And Father, we rejoice in that. We're thankful, Lord, we can present that freely here in this country. Thank you for this Christmas time of year, where, Lord, we can remember our Savior's birth and his death and his resurrection. Father, tonight I pray that you'll help us to look a little bit deeper into our hearts and to examine ourselves, Lord, whether we've mistaken some things, Lord, in our own lives, and miss some things, as was presented here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Balaam, the false prophet, as we looked at last week, is an interesting character in Scripture because he was hired by a king to curse Israel. And he said, I can't do it, although he kept trying to because he wanted the money that they were going to give him. This is called in 2 Peter, the way of Balaam. But as he went, in Numbers 22, and I'll just summarize, I won't read a lot. If you could kind of, you want to look on, you can a little bit, starting around verse 23. Balaam was riding his donkey, and as he went, trying to go curse the people of Israel, God says he put an angel in the way. An angel with a flaming sword, standing in the way. Balaam didn't see the angel. In fact, the angel was there to stop Balaam from doing what he's trying to do, is curse Israel. And so this angel was standing, and three times the donkey does something, trying to get out of the way of the angel. The first time, the angel's standing in a path in the field, there's a field nearby, and the donkey saw the angel and went off into the field, and Balaam got so mad at his donkey, he got a stick and just started beating him. Now, let me get a prop here a second. All right, here we go. Yeah, there's more use to this than just pulling the string down, okay? Parents, if you would like to borrow it, it's got a little hook on the end, too. Well, I might be a little cruel. But anyway, here he is, Balaam there, and that donkey just goes off, running off into the field. Now, you know how stubborn donkeys can be and stuff, and Balaam's getting mad, and so he smacks that thing and beats his own animal. And finally got him back on the path again. Second time, the angel of the Lord is standing there in a path again, and there's vineyards there. And so if you have a vineyard there, you know the path is rather narrow. And there was a little stone wall, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing there again with a sword. And again, Balaam didn't see the angel, but the donkey did. And so what did the donkey do? Well, he kind of get out of the way of the angel, move out of his path, and he smashed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beats his donkey again, smacks him maybe a couple times. So what are you doing? Smashing my foot against the wall. Well, the third time the angel's there standing, it says, the Bible says, in a narrow place. And the donkey just fell straight down. Just boom, couldn't go anywhere. There's no place to go. Turned to the right hand or left, saw that angel standing there. Didn't want to run into the angel, kind of scared. So he just fell straight down. And there Balaam probably lands right on top of that donkey. Maybe falls off, you know, laying on the ground. This time he's really mad. And so he gets a thing and smacks it maybe two or three times. Beats that poor donkey up, you know. Well, this time, most unusual thing in Scripture happens. And you know what I'm talking about. The donkey speaks. And the donkey says, as I'm summarizing, he looks at Balaam and says, "What have I done that you've beaten me these three times?" You just see that little donkey look. I was trying. You can't even imagine that, you know. I can't even imagine what that would be like, a talking donkey there, you know. But the more amazing than that in Scripture is that Balaam answers him like it's nothing. He said, "Well, if I had a sword, I'd kill you." So I wonder about the mentality of Balaam, you know. I mean, come on. You know, hey, one thing, if your dog starts talking to you, that'd be one thing. But if you start talking back, I don't know. But he says, I'd kill you. The donkey says, look, he says, is this like me to do any of this to you? Have I ever done this to you before? I'm not usually like this. I'm usually obedient and so forth. And then it says Balaam's eyes were opened, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And the angel said, well, I went out to withstand thee because your way is perverse before me. Now, we come here to the verse I want you to see. Because Balaam answered then. And this is in Numbers 22. And look with me, verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. And then he says this, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. He says, I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. I didn't know you were telling me to stop. I didn't know that you were standing in the way there. Now, I don't know whether that's Balaam's excuse, because God already told Balaam not to go with these men and try to curse Israel. But this is what he says. He says, I didn't know. We were just dramatized in this story here that Annalise says, I didn't know I was supposed to be ready. I didn't know it was going to come this quick. And how many times do we get caught off guard in our lives by things, and we talk to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I didn't know. Can I give you three things just to think about tonight that we're often mistaken about? Number one, like Balaam here, we're often mistaken about God. And we might say, as Balaam said, I didn't know that God was against it. So here comes Balaam, and that angel of the Lord stand his way, and he says, I didn't know. By the way, is ignorance of the law any excuse? No. I was told that back when I was first starting to learn to drive. And I remember my dad teaching me to drive. And he says, John, you don't want to go too fast. And watch the speed limits. And I said, well, Dad, how about if I don't know what the speed limit is? I get pulled over by a policeman. Too bad. You know, unless he's merciful to you. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. But how many times do we say, oh, I didn't know. God, I didn't know you were against that. And there's only really one or two reasons why we don't know sometimes and why we're ignorant or something. Either, number one, we're newly Christian and we didn't really know because we haven't studied the Bible. But more times than not, can I tell you? More times than not, it's because we're asleep as Christians. And I'm not just talking about sleeping in church, okay? I'm talking about sleeping through life. I'm talking about sleeping in your spiritual life. You have an apathy. You don't care. I'd rather just get home. I'd rather do things for fun. I'd rather play video games. I'd rather go to the mall. I'd rather shop for presents than think about all this about God. I remember a kid in my neighborhood. We were inviting to Bible school growing up. Went down, knocked on his door. He had come several years in a row, coming to our clubs and all that. I said, hey, Jason, I forget what his name was. He says, we'd like you to come. And he said, oh, is it that God stuff again? That was his answer. Yeah, that's the God stuff. It's what you need to hear, you know, what you need. But many times where the Bible says we're dull of hearing, we're asleep like the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane, sleep spiritually. Hey, sometimes we may not know, even in Scripture, that God's against things like marrying an unbeliever. That God's against living together before marriage. That you know, the Bible even speaks about some of the sin that's very prevalent in our society. That whereas we love everybody, but the Bible speaks against homosexuality and transgenderism. Say, oh, I never knew that. Drinking alcohol. Oh, God, I didn't know that. Listening to certain types of harmful music, immodest clothing, the list can go on and on that the Bible speaks of in commandments in the heart of God. You could even say, oh God, I didn't know I'm supposed to tell other people about Christ. I could see one day we stand before the Lord. He looks at you and says, why didn't you do this? You know the answer, I didn't know I was supposed to. Really won't hold up because you know what? He gave us his guidebook. He gave us his rule book right here. And it's our responsibility as Christians to know. And we can't be like Balaam and said, I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. I didn't even know that you were standing. How many times, teenagers, parents, we say, oh, I didn't even know that. How many times have you talked to people and you quoted a verse and they say, oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Hey, one thing that we're sometimes we just get mixed up on, sometimes that that we get off on is not knowing. And we say, hey, I did not know that God was against it, all right? Here's another one. I didn't know that I wouldn't have time. Now, this is what was illustrated tonight. In fact, they even made mention of it. Can you turn with me to Matthew 25, just a minute, Matthew 25? There's a parable Jesus spoke, and I did not even know they're going to refer to this, but in kind of a veiled fashion, but I was already talking about this, but Matthew 25, there's a parable of the 10 virgins in verses 1 through 13. And Jesus says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And as you read through the story, what happens here is that these 5 foolish, as they're waiting for the bridegroom to come out, they ran out of oil for their lamps. And so they went to the 5 wise and they said, hey, can we borrow some of your oil? Our oil is running out. The bridegroom just appeared. You see, in the Jewish economy and the way they celebrate marriage the betrothal period is set. But nobody kind of really knows exactly when that marriage is going to take place. Because, see, the bridegroom is preparing a house for his bride. And so he's nailing wood together and getting everything all fixed up and building that house. And then they kind of know roughly about the day. And then all the people of the wedding party kind of get together. Maybe they're in a motel somewhere or nearby or somebody else's house. And they're waiting for that bridegroom to get all finished. And then the announcement will come. The bridegroom's ready to go get his bride. And he'll announce it. And then everybody must just be ready and get up and go. Well, these 10 virgins that were part of the wedding party, 5 of them had their lamps, you know, as part of the wedding procession. The wedding procession would go from the bridegroom's house to the bride's house. And then he would get his bride and take her back to his house. The wedding procession would follow. And then they'd have a big feast. And that was their wedding day. and the wedding will, and the marriage will culminate there. But these ones of the wedding party, these virgins, five of them had oil in their lamps. The other five did, but they didn't have any reserves. Okay, and so they ask him, and they said in verse 8, the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. He says, go out, go buy some, because we can't give you any more, because we might run out too. They didn't have any reserves. And so they're panicking. And here's the bridegroom, he's ready. And so they go to the marketplace, they get oil, they come back, and the bridegroom's gone. They missed it. The procession's heading down the street. They might see it in the distance. And so the Bible says they go follow it. The wedding has already been, the ceremony started. And maybe the doors are closed and they knock. And they say, can we come in? And the bridegroom says, and he looks and he asks who they are. And verse 11, it says, verse 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. And they missed it. They missed it. Because they were not paying attention. They missed it because they were asleep. They missed it because they were dull of hearing. And they just weren't prepared. And so the conclusion that Jesus reaches in this parable, he says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, that rapture, that could take place at any time. The Bible says we've been caught up in a twinkling of an eye. It says the Lord will come and we'll be forever with the Lord. That could come at any moment. Could come before we're done this service. But the Bible says, be ready. And tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, then the tribulation period will be upon us. And really, the Bible says, if you had heard the gospel message at this time, then really, you will be deceived by the Antichrist. And the chances of you getting saved are about null and void. Hey, you must receive Christ now. Don't ever get to the place and say, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that I wouldn't have time. I didn't know that I wouldn't have time to be ready when the Lord came. We might say, even as Christians, hey, I didn't know. Lord, I wouldn't have time to witness. Or I don't have time to pray or read the scriptures or go to church or help others. I didn't know I wouldn't have time. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Hey, what are some of the things that we get thrown off by? Well, we could say, I didn't know that God was against it. I didn't know that I wouldn't have time. Here's another one. As we already mentioned, I didn't know that Christ was coming. But here's the last one and the saddest one. I didn't know that there's a hell. And I didn't know I was going to wind up in hell. Sad, sad to cry, and I could almost imagine of those without Christ and thinking they're okay. And that final note of life sounds and they slip off into eternity. And instead of waking up in heaven, they wake up in a place called hell. Go over with me to Luke 16 for a minute. A very sobering, not a parable, but a very sobering story that the Lord Jesus told in Luke 16 and verse 19, about two men, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, it says in verse 19, was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. He thought he had the world on his fingertips, you know, all in control. Lots of money, lots of prestige and power. It says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which lay at the gate full of sores. I mean, he was horrible. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's heaven. The rich man, though, got a surprise. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, the rest of that passage describes hell. It says, being in torments. You read down a little farther in verse 24, he asked Lazarus or Abraham that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. There's a great gulf fixed, verse 26. You can't pass from one side to the other. It's eternity. And I imagine this man's cry, and how many cries of so many there today and say, I didn't know that I was going to be in hell. Now listen, they didn't know, probably out of their own choosing. Because they refused to listen. Listen, it's no accident that you're even here tonight. It's no accident that you heard from these teenagers that you can have eternal life. It's no accident even to hear tonight, that you're hearing tonight, that you can be saved from hell. Because see, this might be what you say, oh, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. And one day I say, well, how did I get here? Listen, there's no exit out of hell, but there is a way to escape hell. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came as a babe that day, he didn't come just to live a nice life and everybody think how wonderful he was. He came to die. He says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many, he came to die. He was born to die. And he died so that you and I can live. As we place our faith and trust in him, he comes into our hearts and saves us and gives us eternal life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, listen to this, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, heaven, with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Only one thing left for us to do, that's simply by faith accept it and pray and ask him to save your soul. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, listen, don't be mistaken. Say, oh, I'm okay. I had a grandfather who used to tell that all the time. I don't know whether he's saved or not. I don't know whether he's in heaven today or not. I trust he is. The only hope that we found was that he had a track in his Bible that he had signed one time and said, I accept Christ. That's the only hope we have. But his response every time you talked to him felt like you're talking to a blank wall. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'm all right. Listen, if you're that way tonight, you're not all right. Your life will not end when your body dies here. It'll either go to one or two places. It'll either go to heaven in eternity. It'll go to the place where the unrighteous go. And that's that place of everlasting punishment called hell. Don't be mistaken. Don't be mistaken about your eternal destiny. Would you get us settled? And then Christians, don't be mistaken about that. God just passes everything over. I didn't know, God, that you're against that. I didn't know that I wouldn't have time. God, I didn't know you're coming today. Listen, let's be awake. Let's be on guard. Let's watch. Let's be ready. Let's serve, Christian. Even as is illustrated here tonight, being ready, always and willing to serve. Let's bow in prayer.